Hi guys, Smile here, Dagger from The Origin. Welcome to our second episode from Origin Podcast. And we're super, super excited to have Michael here. Just as a reminder, we're still in Ethiopia. We're going back home soon. And we couldn't be more proud than having this man on our session. So, Michael, Denani.
Denani. And also, thank you for being here. I love the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
All over the coffee industry, especially for empowering your community.
Thank you so much, Michael.
You're welcome.
So why don't we start with telling us about your role in the coffee industry?
I have many roles. My major role is I'm the managing director of IDS Exporter, which is a family-owned coffee exporting company, which has been engaged in the coffee industry for 50-plus years.
Wow, that's a long time.
It's pretty long. It is pretty long.
And yeah. I know that you guys work with farmers, like you work handy with the farmers. Can you tell us about your experience working with farmers and which part of Ethiopia do you guys locate it?
Yeah, so one of our lines of business, obviously the main being exporting coffees from our washing stations, which I'll tell you more about.
Yeah.
But the role that we're really excited about, which we've been doing for the past 5 years, is working with farmers as a service provider where ownership is maintained. He or she is the exporter of their own coffees, where we act as a service provider, where we're doing agronomy training, quality control, marketing, milling, packaging, logistics, transportation.
Yes.
We have zero access or cash. I don't think there's a system that's as transparent as this system.
So what you do is basically managing the quality of their coffee, ensuring they have market access.
Yeah, the hard stuff, honestly speaking, they do, because they're the ones day in, day out working on their quality.
Yeah.
We give them more training on processing, on drying, and we work with them. We have one of our guys who's integral to our work, named Figuera Shanafi, who does training for them. He's also, at that time, we're also processing coffees. We're also working on our station.
Yeah.
So they also go to him as well to check on what activity, moisture of the coffees. But what we see with them, which is, I think, very important for the coffee industry to go do more projects like this, is that they're making more of the income. The money's being spent in Origin, in their communities. Usually people with washing stations, you're operating 3-4 months out of the year, shut down, you're back in Addis. Just generally speaking, I'm sure there's a lot of people doing great works at washing stations, but I think the farmers is something that we feel extremely happy and proud about.
Yeah, and just so you guys know that we've been here in 2022.
Exactly.
When we visited Michael or Addis Exporter's washing station down in, is that Southwest?
Isn't the western and Jemma and Jemma zone?
In Jemma zone and
Gera district.
And Gera district, just to be correct. And we witnessed such an amazing relationship that Michael has with farmers. We were received by farmers themselves. Shout out to Mansour that we don't have today. And we were welcomed into their homes. They shared their coffee culture with us. And it's such a beautiful thing to see that. And that will bring me to another question that I have for you. What does community mean to you?
Community is part of our identity. It's part of what we do. It's an integral part of IDS Exporter. So when we started the washing stations, named Talila was the first one, and the next one is named Atoma. And both those names are extremely meaningful to me, because Atoma, Ato in Amharic stands for Mr., Ma is for Mamo, is for my late father, and Talila is the name of my grandfather, but also in Afana and Romo, it means pure and clean. So those names, it's just not any particular name. They're names that are very important to us as a family. With the washing station, it allows us to work closer with farmers. And it's different. These are smallholder farmers that don't have the export license to export directly.
Correct.
But
they don't even have washing stations.
No, they'll have a small farm, usually less than a hectare.
And how many trees would you say that they plant on that small?
Honestly, that I don't know. I don't want to make up a number because I don't know. But yields, generally speaking, are pretty low.
Per farmer.
Yeah, per tree is like 0.8 kgs. It's pretty low. So I don't know the off the top of my head the average size of the farmers we're purchasing cherries from. But the way we work is we have agents inside of Gera. So the way the law is set up in Ethiopia is we can buy throughout a particular district. So we can't go outside of Gera. Inside of Gera, there's different...
So you have zoning, basically.
Yeah, so it would be
a
district.
Which is pretty similar thing that we had in Rwanda, but this year it was a different story.
Okay, but in Ethiopia,
it's still the same, so it's still zoning, basically.
Yeah, so we're inside of Gera districts, then we'll be purchasing from different kabales or neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And those different neighborhoods have... you have more higher altitude coffees are going to be a better standard coffees.
Mm.
So we have agents in different areas that we try to focus on.
Mm.
But we also have farmers that are part of our outgrowers that deliver chairs directly to us.
Okay.
And especially in the new site, Atoma, we're surrounded by farmers.
Okay.
And it makes our lives a lot easier.
Mm.
And we'd rather be paying farmers more. Than paying agents, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing when you're also just from origin, you're from here. So you understand the value and you understand the value of community being involved into the whole coffee production from farming. So would you say that farmers also receive training on how to pick the cherry, which is the right cherry to pick, so that it also ends up makes your work as a washing station owner easier?
They do. I mean, the government actually, they have extension programs
yeah.
that they give farmers a lot of training. They give them varieties that are conducive to that area.
Mm.
So the farmers do get a training. Sometimes it could be, farmers not having an incentive or not being able to meet their cost of production that
Correct.
Does not allow them to actually, it doesn't give them incentive to pick more cherries or even be able to afford to hire people to pick cherries for them.
Right.
Yeah, but generally speaking, farmers, I think, do a very good job.
Okay. Are you guys farming or growing any other coffee other than Arabica variety?
In Ethiopia, no.
No. So only Arabica?
Yeah, there could be areas that might have like a big estate that might have small, but...
Yeah, it's just small percentage.
Yeah, but everything that's exported illegally is Arabica.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as an exporter... And I didn't ask, how many years have you been managing Addis Exporters?
As a managing director for the past 6 years.
But
I've been involved in the business for the past 20 years.
That's a long time. So you actually can answer this question regardless the number of years that you've been managing. So my question, I always like to ask exporters this question, any exporter from origin, meaning any exporter from a country that produces coffee, what would you say are the most challenging part in the coffee exporting business?
There's a lot of challenges, but just to
name
a
few.
Okay, I think that one is obviously price.
Price.
Because especially for us, running washing stations is at what price we're getting cherries.
Mm.
Usually prices...
Who sets the price?
Locally set. Is the market sets the price.
Okay.
And obviously, there's a big influence to try to pay farmers more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll be great. Mm-hmm. I think trying to get more income to farmers is important for sustainability of coffee, for all of us, from the producer to the end roaster and the consumer. But the reality is there's a ice market that says this is what your coffee's worth.
Right.
And for the specialty market, we have a different market, but generally speaking, that sets the price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really challenging in terms of a lot of people can't meet their cost of production.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about sustainability of coffee, the first thing should be is, I don't think we're going to lose all this coffee. So the alarming figures that we hear is because we might lose it just because the farmers don't make enough income.
Yes.
So we, even with all these incentives of certification and other incentives that are out there, farmers have to be able to meet their cost of production and hopefully more because
those certifications also adds more cost.
They do. But the certification for us in our stations, they're not certified.
Mm.
I think we probably will certify it, and mainly due to broaden the market that we have. So instead of being able to sell for X amount of buyers, we can have more clients to be involved in purchasing our coffees.
Mm.
But for farmers, it puts an extra burden on them to get those certifications.
That's true. Speaking of certifications, though, what are your thoughts on the coffee certifications, especially this new one that we have, European Union Deforestation Statement?
Yeah, so that's something that we're all worried about, especially in origin. I think that's more of a law than a certification. So with organic and rainforest, cafe practice, you know that you need those certifications to sell to particular clients.
Yeah.
This is a law set by the European Union that says that because of deforestation, that you have to prove that your coffees are deforestation free, which is, I think, for a farmer, for a farm that has stability, like the farmers that we work with, they have a farm, maybe one or two in different places, so that's easier to certify, because you're trying to get the polygon for over 4 hectares and GPS coordinates for less than 4 hectares. And for us as an exporter, it's putting a lot of burden on us, because in order to sell to Europe, we have to prove that. So we've already started
that your coffee is deforestation free.
So when we're buying, especially when you're buying in a washing station, or even if you have a dry station, you're buying big volume. So if you have one farmer in that lot, that's not that we can't prove that they're deforestation free, then legally we can't get that coffee to Europe. And in the Ethiopian context, even in Oromia region, which is the biggest growing region in coffee, if I'm not mistaken, I think around 70% of the coffee comes from the Oromia region. There's over 2.3 million farmers.
Wow.
So it's literally impossible to do that. And also, I think putting more burden on farmers is just not right. And
for them to sell their product.
Yeah.
That's...
So I think as a company, we can try to find solutions for our own purpose. And
but for the community?
Yeah, you were looking at the bigger picture. And, and for Ethiopia... I mean, coffee is definitely part of what Ethiopia is about.
Absolutely.
But also for development, you know, we need to sell coffee because we need to import medicine. We need to build infrastructure, and we need to improve the livelihoods of our people.
Please say that loud to the audience to hear that. That's such a very, that thing, it's just so powerful to me. And I do want people to understand this thing from different perspective of different people that are rooted into this culture of coffee, but also doing business. So please say that one more time.
Now for us, it's not a luxury coffee, it's a necessity. It's the biggest foreign currency earning for the country. So many millions of people are dependent on coffee. And I think just like you, I mean, having great coffee, having a great cup, and having a coffee scoring 87 plus is amazing. But at the end of the day, the bigger picture is improving the livelihoods of human beings. Nothing is more important than the human beings.
Because it doesn't matter if it's a 90 cup. They're the ones that make it happen.
Exactly. Yeah. And there are, you know, I think the reality is the coffee industry is challenging throughout the whole supply chain. You know, and how do we make it better? Because when we see... even I just got back from World of Coffee in Copenhagen.
Yeah, how was it?
It was good. It was really good. And there's a lot of honestly genuine, really good people trying to do great things. But when you have these panels, you just never have people from origin. You don't have a person that actually feels it. So okay, like for me, we have a farm. So technically, I'm a farmer, but I'm not there every day planting coffee. So I really can't say I'm an investor in a farm that's trying to do something really good. It's a different story than a person like Mansour, who you visited, and Dafiz and the other farmers. Yeah. They're there all the time, and it's great going to see them and seeing their work, but their life is really challenging. They're not making, you know, they're trying to survive.
Yes.
And I think the ultimate goal for me as a human being is how could we make their lives better? And it's not trying to make them rich.
It's how can we make them strive instead of survive?
Exactly. You know? Basic things like clean water, access to electricity, you know, being able to send their children to school.
Access to sanitary pads for these 80% of women that are involved in this work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and women, I think diversity is something that I'm really, is part of who I am. I feel like that's needed. We've Mansoor's wife, who you met, Nasru, yeah. She was the first female farmer to be part of the Iskoma group to actually export her coffee to the international market, which is... Yeah.